has passed. For that person, it's passed. It's already, because literally, in the, I'm referring to a passage in, I believe it was in, I don't know, either Timothy or Thessalonians. I'm not going to look it up. Look up resurrection and past in, on your computer Bible or on a concordance, all right? There were a couple of guys who were erring concerning the truth, saying the resurrection had already passed. And literally, in the Greek, I believe that was, even now is come. The resurrection has come already. The dead are raised already. They are already in heaven. I mean, what does it mean to be raised if not, well, their bodies are there, but they went to heaven in the spirit. No, no. They are not up there. The person. I know that. Because every scripture talks about the person speaks of them as being in the ground. The person is in the ground. The spirit is not the person. Jesus, when he died, I use that example many times. But Jesus said, there comes a day when all that are in their graves shall hear his voice and come forth. It's a very simple truth from the scriptures. It goes back to the Old Testament and the New Testament. The resurrection of the dead. And there is depth there. But the beginning of it is believe it. Believe in the resurrection. I live in hope of the resurrection of the dead. That when I die, I will be buried, but that God is going to take me up again out of corruption to put on incorruption. That is the teaching of Christianity. Anything else, whether it be rapture or this, you know, die and you immediately are resurrected into heaven.
Well, we don't call it resurrection. We just call it what happens when you die.
Well, it is what... When you die, you die. And when you're raised, you're raised. And if you go to heaven when you die, you are raised from the dead. No man has gone up into heaven except he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. There are not men up there. Like, I know Paul talked about having a vision of going to the third heaven. But that's a vision or a temporary trip. Not the same as ascending into heaven to stay. Or in victory, you know what I mean, to be received there. Now, there isn't this continuous stream of dead people coming into heaven. No. The life, the spirit of life, returns to God who gave it. And that's all. And that's simply, I mean, it's not like it comes to God and it flies around his head. What does the spirit of life even look like? I mean, it's just, it returns to God. It doesn't have to go anywhere, really. It just returns into the air. And God has it again. And God has it all the time. All the souls are mine, he says. And this we will do if God permits. Oh, eternal judgment, of course. Eternal judgment. The judgment of God is eternal. The judgment of God. The final judgment of God. God will judge sin in the end. The soul that sins, it shall die. That is the judgment of God. Very simple. Life and death. He sets before us two things. Life and death. Eternal life. And the second death. There are other ideas that get read into the ultimate ideas of torment and so on and so forth. The living are tormented. The dead know not anything. The first death and the second death are very similar, except the second death there is no waking from. There is no resurrection from the second death. In it, their thoughts perish, and their souls are destroyed. Fear not them which destroy the body, but fear rather him who can destroy your soul. And this we will do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh and put him to an open shame. I know I kind of shorted eternal judgment and it's plaguing my mind as I was reading that. I want to go back to that for a second. You know, Jesus said to the Pharisees, what do you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites for you? tithe, the mint, and the anise, and the cumin. You follow the lowest details of the law, but you've left off the most important matters: judgment, mercy, and faith. Judgment. Some people think, well, we shouldn't judge. There is an eternal judgment. The judgment of God stands sure. We know that the judgment of God is sure concerning such things. We know the judgment of God because it's written in the Word. In the New Testament, you only need to read the New Testament because that's where the law of Christ is. And you'll find all the things that God has judged. It's all there. It's all judged. Like if I say to someone, you know, you shouldn't fornicate. Don't judge me. Well, I'm not judging you. Sorry. And I don't really say to people, you shouldn't fornicate. Though, I tell you, you should not fornicate. But what I mean is I don't go around as a busybody in other men's affairs. But I tell all, the judgment of God is sure. Fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Well, don't judge me. I'm not judging you. It's the judgment of God. Well, you think you know the judgment of God? It's like, well, it's the judgment of God according to my faith and my religion, according to the Christian religion. Well, I'm a Christian too. I mean, we met in church. Doesn't that make it okay? That's why I laugh about people who meet each other in church. They begin sleeping together. They don't bother to get married. Say, isn't it wonderful that God brought us together? Wonderful. There's a heavy dose of sarcasm in that. So there's more to judgment. Yes, judge not that you be not judged. Hold back on judgment on certain matters of conscience. Don't judge by the outward appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Jesus told us to judge. He didn't say never, ever judge. What he said is, don't, you know, when he says judge not, he's not saying negate the judgment of God. He's saying in matters that you, where you are able to even judge, where your judgment is required, do not judge that ye be not judged. Because the judgment you judge with is what you're going to be judged by. And that the whole point of that is use righteous judgment and be prepared. Whatever judgment you mete out to someone is the same judgment that's going to be meted out to you. And the same measuring stick you use to measure one man is the measuring stick that's going to be measured against you. That's all. That's what he really means, is you are going to be subject to whatever, the way you judge others. That's what your conscience thinks is right and wrong.